Why do we need to increase our capacity? You know why we need to? So we can make a difference in this world, so that you can be used by God. This is a little side note. I was reading this week. There's no place in the New Testament where God wasn't dependent on you. Nobody got saved in the New Testament. God didn't save anybody. He had to work through a person, is what I'm trying to say. He had to send people out, Cornelius over to Paul. He had to send Stephen out to the Egyptian. You know, the Holy Spirit's always at work, but the Holy Spirit has to work through you. This world is dependent on it. Think about that. Just meditate on that a little bit this week. God is completely dependent on you to get this world saved, because he wants to work through you. What an honor, huh? Not that it's laid on us, but he has chosen to work through you. You are called, you are anointed to reach the world, to reach your neighbor, to reach your cashier, to reach the person you work next to. That's how much he cares about the world, but also how much he cares and loves you. He wants to work through you. He is completely dependent on you. All right? Glory to God. All right, I want to pick up kind of where we left off the other day. Well, yes and no. I never know where I'm going up here anymore. And actually, he kind of shortened me down as I got in there this morning. How do we increase our capacity, our understanding, our insight, and our knowledge of God? Now, we talked a little bit about wisdom last week. This, my Bible, that Bible is a spiritual book. Amen? It's not just a book of words. Let me read this, how I wrote it here. This is a spiritual book and can only be fully understood through the guidance and the instruction of the Holy Spirit speaking directly to your spirit. That's the only way it happens. If you can, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. It says here, 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen or ear has not heard and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. How many times have we ever heard, no one ever knows what God's going to do. You do. Read verse 9. For to us, now he's talking about us, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. I know that's really hard to understand, but we're going to explore this for the next couple weeks. Because I believe as we grow and we increase in wisdom, which is what? The knowledge of God. As we start to do that, it's a twofold thing. There's a God side and a man side to everything. Amen? A lot of people think that God's up there, he's just kind of doing his own little thing, and we kind of come into play with him. But for us to implement everything in our life, I'm going to show you this through Scripture today. You've got a part to play in it. If you don't play your part, nothing will get done. And that's kind of what, going back to what I just shared about God wants to use you. That's why he chooses to use you out here. There's a God side and a man side to everything that God is doing in our life. We need to pick up our end of the bargain. You understand what I'm saying? If we don't do it, God's not going to do it. God won't move. And you've heard me say this before over the last couple weeks. Everything is in you that you need to succeed. But if you don't do the digging, if you don't do the drawing out, if you don't do the work, it's never going to come out. And if you will never activate the power of God in your life until you make the effort. Amen? This is how we fulfill John 10:10. For I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You're never going to walk in an abundant life. You're never going to walk in the full promises of God. You're never going to walk how God intended you to walk. And you're going to see this very clear as we kind of go through Joshua, unless you do your part. And that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to focus on God's part next week. Okay, I'm going to show you, as you do your part, what God will do. I want to talk to you a little bit about Joshua. Why don't you flip on over to Joshua chapter 1, and before I get into it, I'll kind of preface it. Moses is dead, now Joshua is getting ready to start his little ministry. This first chapter is a picture of, let's take us back to when we're born again, okay? You get born again, and you're talking to all your Christian little buddies, and you're, oh, God's going to do this in your life. His promises are here. He's going to heal you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to do all this. You're going to walk in to take the land, and you're never going to have another problem in life. Amen? That's how it all is for everybody, isn't it? We get saved, and wow, our eyes are all opened up, and boy, we are just, life is grand. Amen? Now, I want to use that picture as I read Joshua to you. They call them pictures or types. This is a type of the way that the Lord works. I'm going to focus on Joshua 1:8. I'm just going to read from Joshua 1:8 down to 1:9 for you. And I'm just going to kind of ad lib here. Now it came to pass, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to the sons of Israel. Remember, that's what happens when we get saved. The promised land. You just entered the promised land. All the promises of God. Life is going to be grand now. That's Joshua. Oh, man, we're going to go in. He's been waiting for 40 years to head in there. Okay? He's excited. Every place on which the sole of your feet treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. Man, you have got it made. Think about the picture you had in your head when you got saved. Life is grand. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Nothing, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. You are an overcomer. Didn't we all have this little picture when we got saved? Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. I will never leave you. God's on my side. I can't be conquered. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Man, you're going to enter in where your grandfather, you're going to have a greater anointing. You're going to have more favor than even the people before you, because they wouldn't enter in. Only be strong and very courageous. This is where everything changes. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, your servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. What did God just put on to that? A condition. For him to get into the land, for him to conquer the land, God said, this is what you're going to have to do. This is true in every one of our lives. And we're going to go on from there. This book of the law, this is the key for him to take the land. This book of the law shall not depart out from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. There's the condition. What's your success? The word of God. It hasn't changed. You've got to put the word of God in your life. That's how success comes. There's no way we're ever going to walk into our promised land. There's no way we're ever going to walk in the power and the anointing that God wants us to walk in without first putting the Word of God into us. That's the only way the Holy Spirit works. So that you may be careful to do all according to written in it, For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. The promise is there. The land is before him. The condition is what? Put the word of God into you. That is the key to victory in every area of our life. The word of God. The word of God has got to go in so the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Because fear is the first thing that will enter in as we go into it. Think about Joshua here. He gets all this. He's all wound up. He's getting ready to walk in. And what was the first thing he came across? Jericho. Holy, the first fortified city. He sends spies in. He's going, oh man, how am I going to overcome this? Right after he got the promise. And think about this in our own little life. We get saved. We're all on fire for the Lord. And then comes our first Jericho. We go, oh, God can't do it. And then God gave him the instructions on how to do it. And I'll be honest with you. If I was Joshua, I said, are you kidding me? Walk around the sound, yell, scream, and the walls are going to come down? I'm giving you that. But his first test was obedience. He had to obey something that sounded so ridiculous. And that's also a picture of what we come into. As we come into the kingdom of God and we come across our first obstacle, it's, oh my God, it's so big. It's, God can't. All Joshua had to do, what he did, is what? Inquired of the Lord, stayed in the word. God gave him the word of how to overcome it. And then he applied the word in his life, and the walls come down. But think about us. We panic. We don't know what we're going to do. But we got to be what? Strong and courageous and find the word that applies to our situation. And the walls will come down. Amen? There's always a man side to it. You've got to do the digging. For our ways to be prosperous, to have success, we must put the word of God into our hearts. That's the key that gave Joshua the victory. The word of God. Now, we talk about it, meditating. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever situation you're dealing with in life, find the word of God on it. Dig a little bit into this Bible. And find the way. If it's healing, if it's finances, if it's emotions, whatever it is in your life, you've got to find the word that deals with it. Put it into your heart and then start walking it out. That's the only way you're going to see the walls come down in your life, is dealing with it. But you've got to do the work. You've got to put the word in. Joshua had to meditate. Why was Joshua successful? Because he did the work. He put the word. I mean, for him, it was the first five books, everything that Moses wrote. He put ahead of him. For us, it's really simple. And we're going to see this because we have the Holy Spirit. He didn't even have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the aid. Actually, we're superpowered compared to him. All he had was the word of God written, and he had to keep it in front of him, and the promises of God. He had to, man, Lord, I know you said this land is flowing with milk and honey, but man, there's a fortified city, and all those people are in there, and they got weapons, and they ain't coming out. But you said I can take this land. This is my land, and it's flowing with milk and honey. I don't have to do anything. I just go out and pick up giant grapes. I can live forever. But there's a mountain in front of me. That's what he saw. But he had to get the word of God on it. Then he had to act on the word of God. And then the walls came tumbling down. I mean, think about what he was going to. He looks at this thing and he sends a bunch of spies in. He goes, hey, I'm going to try to do it a natural way, was what he was thinking. Okay, let's go. We'll just go check it out. And God will give me a way to do it. And God gave him a completely opposite walk around it? Okay. And I'm going to take the walls down? That doesn't sound normal. That's not how you invade a nation. Shock and awe, usually. Blow them up. Walk around. Have a couple tambourines. And then shout. Yeah, that works. But it did work. Why? Because he was obedient to the word of God in his life. The only way wisdom will grow in our hearts is by putting the word of God into our hearts. Go with me to Psalms 119, verse 11. This was one of the first scriptures I ever memorized. And I want to start in verse 9 here so you get the whole picture. How can a man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. This is David speaking. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word, your word, your word. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against thee. You know, there is no sin that's uncommon to man, but God is faithful. He will always make a way of escape. That's 2 Corinthians. The way he keeps you safe, the way he keeps you on path is through his word. You know, he says, you know, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. We say that we are led by the Spirit of God, but he leads in accordance with his word. Amen? If it's not the word, then we're going to get off. The word is the only thing that is safe in our life. Boy, that was new. That just came right out of my spirit. We see it with Paul and Timothy. Go over into Timothy. I think it's chapter 2, verse 15. This is Paul teaching his number one disciple. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Your job, the man side of everything, is you handling the word of God. Without handling the word of God, without putting the word of God into your hearts, you'll never, ever be able to walk out the spirit side of it, the power side of it. Because it's like a battery. What makes a battery work? You've got a positive and a negative. But what's inside the battery? I have no idea. There's something in the battery that creates energy. The word of God, if you don't have what's inside the battery, you have no energy. You can't create anything. The Word of God is the seed. Jesus talked about it all the time. The Word is a seed. What makes the seed grow? Nobody knows. The seed just grows. You put the seed in the ground. If you're not putting the Word into your heart is the production center of your life. And what I mean by heart, what do I mean by your spirit? Your spirit man is a product. If you're not putting the seed of God, the word of God, into your production center, there's no way you're going to get any harvest. You've got to get the word into the production center, into your heart for it to work. That's what Paul was instructing his number one disciple. I'll call it his son, his first son, is how Paul talked about Timothy, accurately handling the word of truth. The word of God is the thing that gives power to the Spirit of God. The man side of increasing our capacity for wisdom is purposefully implanting the word of God into your life. You've got to be purposely about it. You've got to be exact about it. You've got to take the time to study. You've got to take the time to open the book and read it. If you don't take the time to do it, I think the word here is purposefully. You've got to make an effort to do it. Because there are so many distractions in life. There's everything that will come at you the minute you start to do this. It's like prayer. How do I have time to pray? Because the minute you go to pray, the devil brings 85 people by the house. The kids start doing this. Ask April. There's always something that comes up. If you don't start these habits into your life, you're never going to have the resources to get things done in your life. You're never going to give the Holy Spirit the food that it needs or the nourishment it needs to grow and start to dominate your life. Amen? That's the key to it. The minute I take the responsibility for my side, it opens the door for God to activate the Holy Spirit's power on your behalf. I'm going to say that again. The minute you take, or I take the responsibility for my side, it opens the door for God to activate the Holy Spirit's power on my behalf. I can show you this. This is so good. I got this in my reading the other day, and the Lord kind of showed it to me. It's in Mark 5. I'm just going to read it to you. This is Jesus. He just came back from the other side of the lake where he basically cast a demon out of a maniac. Pigs ran down, drowned themselves. He's on his way back across the lake. He gets there. Thousands of people show up. I want to show you this. This is so key. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him. How big was the crowd? I don't know. 1,000 people. That's 1,000 people. That's a pretty good sized crowd to me. And so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up. Now this is like the mayor of the town. He's a synagogue official. He's pretty high up in rank in the little community. Everybody knows him. He's like a town official. So he comes running on up. Came up and seeing him, fell on his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." What was his part? To come and ask. What did Jesus instantly do? There's thousands of people there to get healed. There are a lot of people that were following Jesus. They were only there to get something from him. And you're going to see this a little further down in this chapter. The minute he came, he worked his way through the crowd. He had to work his way through the crowd. I mean, there's thousands of people there. Worked his way through the crowd, came up to Jesus, got down in front of him, said, "Lord, my little kid's dying. You need to come heal him." What I want you to see, he made the effort. He had to make the effort to get to Jesus. He could have stayed at home. "Jesus, heal him. Please, Jesus, heal." But he had to make the effort to get to Jesus, just like you're going to have to make the effort to get into the Word. If you don't go to Jesus, Jesus is the Word. If you don't make that effort, your little girl is going to die. What did Jesus do? There's thousands of people there, thousands of people in need. It says here, "And he went off with him." He got his attention. He did his part. He got Jesus' attention, and Jesus went with him. He did his part, is what I want you to see here. And what did that do? That got Jesus' eyes up. Whoa. He did his part. Now I can go do my part. He went off with him. And a large crowd followed him and was pressing around him. Now he's on his way to Jairus' house. On his way there, he's healing people. The lady get healed with a hemorrhage. He's walking with and walking towards Jairus' house, and all these people are thronging around him, and he's still doing his work. And he turned around and he looks at the woman, "Your faith has healed you," and I don't want to get into that. But I want to pick up here in verse 35, because this is just a continuation of that story. While he was still speaking, now, he's sitting there dealing with the lady with a hemorrhage that got healed, and everyone's all, "Oh, she got healed, blah, 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 and who touched me?" And they're all arguing back and forth, whatever they're doing, you know, typical churches. You know, you can't get anybody in one accord. Yeah, exactly. Well, everyone's got their own ideas, what I'm trying to say. While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official. "Your daughter is dead." Oh, man, didn't get there in time. Why trouble the teacher anymore? She's already gone. Don't worry about it. But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, this is what he was encouraging Joshua to do. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid any longer. Only what? Believe. That's exactly what he spoke to Joshua going in. That's what he's speaking to you. As you start to go into your promised land, you're going to see giants. You're going to see walled cities. Things are going to happen in your life that the devil's bringing upon. You're going to see things, and you're going to experience things, and you're going to be hurt, and you're going to be devastated. But what? Do not be afraid any longer. Only what? Believe. Implant the word. The word was, hey, I'm going with you. And he allowed no one to accompany them. That's when he got rid of what? The negativity. He got rid of the crowd. Said, okay, I can only take three of you guys because only three of you are in faith with me, is what he was saying there. And he allowed no one to accompany except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came into the house of the synagogue official, and he saw the commotion and the people loudly weeping and wailing. And they came into the house of the synagogue official, and he saw the commotion, the people weeping. And he entered in. He said to them, why make the commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but asleep. Now, can you imagine the ridicule you're getting? Because that's the way it works in our lives, too. The ridicule you're going to get for standing on the Word of God. The ridicule you're going to get. The power bill is due, and I ain't got no money. And God says he's going to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the ridicule from your mom, your sister, your brother, he don't work that way. Go get a job, buddy. You know what I'm saying? You got to do your work. But I'm saying, but God is the one that's going to supply your needs. The ridicule you're going to get when you stand on the Word of God. The devil will laugh at you. And he'll use people to laugh at you about it. When you start standing on the promises of God, when you start believing God to live the way he's called us to live, people are going to ridicule you. They're going to laugh at you. Oh, God don't work that way. Seed time and harvest, that's all crap. I've been in this long enough to know. I don't know if I shared this story with you. I went off on a guy one day about seed time and harvest. You know, God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory. All you got to do is sow, and he'll bring a bountiful harvest to you, blah, blah, blah. And he ran from one part of the church to the pastor, laughing at me. He goes, John believes this stuff. Yeah, I do. I believe when I lay hands on somebody, they're going to recover because the Bible says it. There are a lot of people out there that don't believe that. Well, you just got to pray 100,000 days, and you pray, pump enough prayers off to heaven, God's going to heal you. No, I'm telling you, today you were healed at Calvary by his stripes. The day they beat him, you were healed. You start speaking that, people are going to laugh at you. But what do you got to do? Be strong and courageous and stand with the word. That's why we're not seeing the power gifts in the church today. We're too afraid to stand up and do it. Because if we stood up and do it, it's not us. I've never healed anybody. Who healed them? Jesus did 2,000 years ago. But when you start standing on the Word of God, when you start acting on the Word of God, and when you start acting like you believe the Word of God, people are going to, whoa, whoa, whoa. Speaking in tongues is done away with. No, it ain't. Think about this. Think about the insanity of this. This is something new. Think about the insanity of this. If only the apostles needed it, but yet the world is waxing colder and colder, and the devil's getting stronger and stronger, wouldn't I need it more? It makes no sense to their doctrine. Why do they do that? Because it's easier to believe that than it is to get in the Word of God and stand on the Word of God and watch God perform in your life. Once God starts to perform in your life, the Word becomes easy. The hardest thing in my life was to pray for the first person or to lead the first person to the Lord. After that, it became easy. You know why? God showed up. Once he shows up, once you experience it, once you stand on the Word of God, This is where I'm at. Don't turn him back. Once you lay hands on somebody and you see him healed, you see him recover, you see legs grow or whatever happens, or a blind man see, it becomes much easier. I haven't made to raising people from the dead yet, but I'm working on it. Because that's what he wants us to do. And the reason you don't see the power in the church today is we don't stand on it. We're not the ones performing the power. We're not the ones doing the miracles. It's him. It's his power. He's just looking for what? Something to work through. He wants to work through you. The only way he works through you is by having the word in you. Because I tell you one thing, the first time I prayed for somebody, the devil was in my ear. This ain't gonna work. This ain't gonna work. But I didn't go by what was going in my ear. I went by what was in my heart. He says, no, by his stripes we were healed. And I laid hands on him and poof, holy crap. Holy crap, it worked. That's what I said. I'll be honest with you. I was driving down in Tulsa. Diane and I, a guy from Kokomo came down. We're driving around, going to restaurants and stuff. And a guy is at a bus stop having an epileptic fit, just shaking. I said, stop the car. I jump out, run over there, lay hands on him. And he popped up. And I went, holy cow, it worked. I mean, I was as surprised as he was. But it was the Spirit of God in me. It was the Word of God in me that made me do it. I had that little unction. Dang, it's poof, pop. Ooh. The Word of God in you. That's how you apply it. That's ministry. It's much more when it's you intimately with your Father. That's what he wants to do in you with the Word of God. Revelation knowledge. His Spirit speaking to your spirit. We're going to get into this next week. So strap your little boots on. Once you realize that he is for you, he's not against you, all he's looking for is a conduit to work through, you're unstoppable. You can't be held back. That's exactly what he's looking for in this world. He's looking for the conduit. He's looking for people who will believe his word and take their land. That's who we are. That's what this church is called to do. Not that other churches are doing things wrong. This is what we're called to do. We are called to know God, discover your purpose, and then what? Make a difference. You got to make a difference in the world around us. How do we make that difference? We take the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God. We allow God to work through us so that he can draw people to him. It was his fame went out. Remember, he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. Remember, that's what got this whole thing started. As we do this, as we stand on the Word of God, we allow the Spirit of God to work through us, we're not going to need radio advertising, things at the fair to let people know we're here. They're going to be coming. Why did they come to Jesus? They came for one purpose, to receive something from him. They needed healing. They needed deliverance. They needed something. There were people lining up at the door because Jesus moved in the power of God. As we continue to do that within this body right here, they'll be lining up at the door to get in here. Not for what I can give them, not for what you can give them, but for what God can do in them. Then we can get them saved. Then we can get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Then we can get them filled with that power. And we can send them out and more people will come. That is ministry. That's what we need to be doing. Amen? So glory to God.